Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com. Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from BU Questrom School of Business. Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of a recent episode exploring the history of investors holding businesses accountable and the dawn of the ESG, or Environmental Social Governance, movement.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Produced by the iLab at WBUR Boston.
How would you define what a meme is?
Oh, man. Okay. That's a big question. A meme, I know when I became a meme, which is like a weird sentence to say, but when that happened to me in 2012, memes were very much like a photo with text on the top, text on the bottom. Every meme looked like that. Every meme like had a name.
A few months ago, as we were learning everything we could about memes, Ben and I sat down with Lena, who has a particular take on them.
A take without a doubt shaped by her unique experience as the accidental star at the center of a beloved, if unsettling, meme.
Well, my name is Lena Morris. I am better known as the overly attached girlfriend, which is a meme on the internet. I did YouTube full time for like 7 to 8 years. And now I'm just hanging out in Arizona with my dogs, you know, quarantining still. And that's my life.
I'm Ben Brock Johnson.
I'm Amory Sievertson. And today we're bringing you another bonus Endless Thread meme series episode, a conversation with the person behind one of the most famous memes, Overly Attached Girlfriend.
Which, if you haven't seen or can't remember, is a classic. It's a image macro with impact font, that style of meme, and the images of Lena posing as, well, an overly attached girlfriend.
So picture a wide-eyed woman in her early 20s, an odd, forced smile, head cocked to the side as if she's kind of interrogating you.
Or like maybe you're a pet and she's about to like hug you to death or something.
Exactly.
And it's always paired with these captions like, just because you broke up with me doesn't mean I broke up with you.
And did you get my messages about my other messages?
It took you 10 minutes to get home. Google says it takes 8 minutes. Who is she?
And as with many meme stars we've spoken to for this season, Lena's relationship with fame, it was far from rosy, even if its origin was pretty innocent.
Innocent only if you think stuff that involves the Beeb is innocent.
This all starts with a Justin Bieber contest of some sort, right? When did you find out about that contest? And
are you a Belieber too? Or were you?
I liked him. I think it was also a little bit, I thought it was funny to be a Justin Bieber fan at 20 years old. And, you know, like I dressed up as him for Halloween and I kind of just thought it was funny.
You were Belieber agnostic.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put it. So the contest, it was early June and I remember just like waking up and getting on my phone and I say I wasn't a fan and I'm going to tell you that like the first thing I did was look up Justin Bieber news. I wasn't a fan. I saw that he was having this contest to promote his new fragrance, which was called Girlfriend. And he had just released a song called Boyfriend. If I was your boyfriend, never let you go. Keep you on my arm, girl. You'd never be alone. And he basically asked fans to make a parody song from the girlfriend's perspective. And I started writing these lyrics like from the perspective of a clingy girlfriend. And I got off work one day and the contest was like almost over. So I like ran to my room and put on a random t-shirt that I found on the floor, which, you know, if I knew how many people were going to watch it, maybe I would have done something different. You log onto your YouTube, like from this website, and it uploads your video and it titles it JB Fan Video all on its own. I shared the video on my Facebook just so my friends and family could see it because I thought it was kind of funny. And, you know, I thought that was kind of that. And then that same night, it started getting a lot more attention than like just my friends and family. And the next day, it was a meme.
The video begins with Lena sitting still in a kind of cheap t-shirt, chestnut brown hair, facing the camera. And she holds that awkward, wide-eyed look we described, with blue eyes that seem to just swallow you up. Then...
If I was your girlfriend, I'd drive you up the wall. Question who you're with, yeah, I'd always call and call. I wouldn't call it jealousy, just looking out for you. Reading all your texts, watching everything you do, nag.
If the lyrics aren't already creepy enough, she leans in, letting the song unfold into a full-blown ode to the Biebs, styled after Kathy Bates in Misery.
If I was your girlfriend, I'd never let you leave without a small recording device taped under your sleeve.
This was supposed to be a silly video she shared with friends. But to enter the contest, she was required to upload the video to YouTube for everyone to see. And they did. The video started taking off.
First 52 comments, few hundred views.
Then something like a million views a day in 2012.
I remember calling my dad and being like, do you know what a viral video is? Like, I think I did that.
Someone took a screenshot of Lena's intense, overly attached look, and coupled with a few creepy captions, the overly attached girlfriend meme was born.
Lena had already taken a semester off from school, unsure about what she really wanted to do with her life. And she knew she liked to entertain, so she ran with it and decided to make another parody.
The song Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen was really popular at the time.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, no.
Hey, I just saw you with that lady. Paid for her dinner. That's kind of shady.
I decided that I would make another parody and do it to that song, and I did. And that video blew up, and my videos were like number one and number two on YouTube at the time. And then I knew I wanted to see where it could go. That's why I made another video. But when I made the other video, that's when I knew, like, okay, I want to see how far I can go with this.
Lena was all in. For a 20-something living in Texas, still trying to figure out life, the idea of turning her 15 minutes of fame into something more was kind of exciting. Her dream of being an entertainer was no longer just a dream.
Her family hired an entertainment lawyer. Lena signed with Big Frame, a management company in Los Angeles that specializes in representing YouTube stars. And then she got to work, making weekly videos, taking offers from big brands, doing the work that celebrities do.
My two favorite things that came out of it, I can tell you, were number one, I was on Jimmy Fallon when he was doing Late Night with Jimmy Fallon.
Okay, cool.
It was a real quick sketch. I didn't have a single line. I literally came out and made the face and then went away.
Don't you see the similarities and why you guys would get along? Look at her eyes. They're just...
And then the other thing, which I feel like these two are just tied for the best, was that I got a Kia Soul, which I was obsessed with Kia Souls, which everyone makes fun of me for.
Kia Soul. I need a Kia.
But the good vibes wouldn't last.
Kia Soul.
What went wrong? In a minute.
My current car's not great. There's nowhere to put my cup. When I play my music, my speakers don't light up. There's nowhere in my car to plug my iPod in. Local radio stations are my only friend. I need a Kia. Kia Soul. I need a Kia.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from BU Questrom School of Business. A recent episode explores the long tradition of investors influencing companies to do better.
If you even go back to the 1600s, the Dutch East Indies companies, you'd have ships that would disappear for 3, 4, or 5 years at a time. And there were mechanisms that were needed because investors would put money into these operations.
Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the episode.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Seen. Listen and follow Last Seen wherever you get your podcasts.
In the years after Lena Morris became the overly attached girlfriend, she built a pretty successful YouTube following, often playing that character, the clingy, creepy, cringy, can't-let-you-go girl. But it wasn't easy.
When did things start to take a turn and things started to feel like maybe this isn't going the way that I thought it would, or maybe this isn't what I want to do?
Pretty quickly, it was a very lonely job. You know, I lived in Texas and I had no one around me that was doing the same thing I was doing. It's a job I did from home every day. So it wasn't around people as much as before. I wasn't in school anymore. It was just kind of like me at home all day. Which I think maybe people can kind of like relate to now. I think a lot of people think, you know, that's like the dream and it's really fun. But sometimes it's like I needed some structure that I didn't have, and it really messed with me mentally. I think also one thing that was really hard was just sort of the expectation of like what are you going to do now? Are you going to act? Are you going to do stand up? Are you going to write? Are you going to go back to school? Like, and I didn't know the answer to any of these questions that I felt like I was being asked all the time. Yeah, I don't know that there was like a specific point or period I can say like this moment, this video, this time is what triggered everything to kind of like not be so fun anymore. It was just sort of slowly over time.
With all these questions swirling around in her head, Lena was also dealing with what many young women deal with online.
Creepy guys on the internet, real like sexual, disgusting, like, I don't know. I still get them. Like, that might be kind of sad, but it's something I became like very used to very quickly, unfortunately.
It was all becoming a little too much.
Even when it was at its peak and like I was doing my best, I felt almost like I was like tricking everyone somehow. Like I was like, why are a million people subscribed to me? Like, I'm not very good at this. I don't know, a lot of like real negative thoughts, self-deprecating thoughts. And in 2017, I sort of took a step back and wanted to take a break that turned into like a really long time. And then around that time, beginning of 2018, I started going to therapy and really diving into like, do I even want to do this? Like, when I do make content, I'm not real happy with it. So I'm sure people watching aren't loving it. It's not benefiting them. It's not paying the bills. It's not making me happy. Like, what's my motive here now?
Her
Her motivation and self-esteem had taken a hit, and she didn't know how to dig herself out of this hole. She says after she started seeing a therapist, she learned that she was dealing with depression and anxiety. As she was posting those public funny videos, she also kept a video diary of her private life, like in 2018, when she wrestled with the idea of taking medication.
I think having to, like, face that I am not okay on my own is hard. It makes me feel weak for some reason. It makes me feel, I don't know, like I'm just not okay.
I think I'm, like, Lana would spend all week trying to come up with an idea for her YouTube channel. Then her deadline would come around, and with nothing written, she'd wing it, more or less. She was tired of it.
And then my therapist challenged me to make a video saying goodbye, not necessarily for anyone to see, just like see how it feels, sit down, talk, say goodbye, say whatever you feel you would want to say, and see how that feels, see if it feels right. And I did that, and that's the video I actually ended up posting.
In her goodbye video, Lena opened up about her struggles with mental health. It was freeing in a way.
As much as I don't want to admit it, I know that this part of my life is done and it's time to say goodbye. And how's it feel to be broken up with by the overly attached girlfriend?
But she wasn't really the overly attached girlfriend anymore. She told us when she sees that meme online now, she doesn't see herself. And that's a good thing.
The best stuff, the stuff I'm still getting, which is really great, is like DMs and stuff on Instagram, comments on YouTube, and people just saying like, I watched your video and because of that, like I went and filled this prescription that I've been putting off, or I made an appointment with a therapist, or, you know, you gave me hope because I'm in this really bad spot. You gave me hope that it could get better. Stuff like that, which is like more than I could have ever hoped for. It just sort of makes me feel like the entire 7 or 8 years, whatever that was, like, was worth it to just kind of end in that way and help even one person.
Do you look back on this with no regrets, or do you feel like, I don't know, do you have the what if conversation with yourself?
I do think, like, my answer to that on a very surface level is just like, I have no regrets. It ended up exactly how it should have, you know. But there are definitely things I look back on and think, oh, if I wasn't like overthinking every little thing or stressed about every little decision, there are, you know, opportunities and trips and stuff that I turned down because I was really struggling mentally, or I just was very overwhelmed by every little thing. But at the same time, I just think, man, I was like in my early 20s, I wasn't doing anything else. Like, what, I wish I had sort of jumped on and ridden the wave a bit more and like just had more fun with it, I guess.
There's one more thing we wanted to share from our conversation with Lena, something that came up unexpectedly after about 2 hours of talking. The overly attached girlfriend, one of the biggest memes to come out of 2012. She has a boyfriend.
In fact, she's had this boyfriend for 9 years.
Yeah, we started dating 6 months before I made that video, the first video. So,
wow,
it was a lot, I think, for both of us. We were both just kind of trying to figure it all out together. A lot of people ask me, one of the most like common questions I get is, how has dating been as the overly attached girlfriend, you know? And I think I'm so lucky that I don't have an answer to that question, because I can't even imagine trying to like date and then know that I'm one Google search away from scaring off anyone. So
you're the right amount of attached to each other.
Yeah. I like
through
to think
it all.
So.
Yeah.
Lena, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lena.
Oh, well, thank you. I had a really great time and I appreciate the good conversation. So thank you, guys.
This bonus episode of Endless Thread was produced by Dean Russell and Frank Hernandez.
And we are a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR station. I'm Ben Brock Johnson.
I'm Amory Sievertson, and we'll be back in your feed on Friday with the next full episode in our meme series.
Farewell.
Good morrow.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from BU Questrom School of Business. Listen on for a preview of one of the episodes.
ESG, or environmental social governance, challenges businesses to think beyond the immediate bottom line. But before ESG, the Balanced Scorecard did something similar. Questrom's Eddie Riedel explains.
The big thing that was groundbreaking about the Balanced Scorecard is really this idea to move beyond thinking about financial statements, which everybody had thought about since the 1920s, right? That was kind of the gold standard for how to evaluate a company and its performance. And the Balanced Scorecard's big insight, I think, was to get companies internally to think about, well, what if you don't just focus on financial measures? There are other things that are going to affect your performance, and maybe they won't affect them today, but they're going to affect them in the short term, midterm, long term. Building in those other criteria, those other dimensions, and explicitly linking that to your strategy, to how your company is going to operate, what kind of big decisions it's going to make, that's really what the big insight of the Balanced Scorecard was meant to do. And at the time, right now, it doesn't seem particularly revolutionary. It seems kind of obvious. We've been stuck in the ESG movement for a while, and thinking about linking these things to corporate strategy seems pretty obvious. At the time, it was a pretty big whoa kind of moment.
Find the full episode by searching for Is Business Broken wherever you listen to podcasts, and learn more about the Mehrotra Institute for Business, Markets, and Society at ibms.bu.edu.